Shortly after MCHM, a chemical used in coal processing, spilled into the water supply of 300,000 West Virginians on January 9th, Andrew Welton, an assistant professor of civil engineering at South Alabama University, drove with a graduate student 900 miles to Charleston to advise residents on how to flush their water systems in order to minimize contact with the chemical. He initially went to assist as a volunteer, but because of his early efforts, he and a colleague were awarded a $750,000 grant by West Virginia to lead the state's testing assessment project. Professor Welton put together a global team of experts to study various aspects of the disaster. Most people affected by the toxic contamination were still not using tap water for drinking, though many were using it for other purposes in the weeks and months after the Do Not Use order was lifted, several days after the initial spill. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus, who spent several days in and around Charleston in early March reporting on the disaster, spoke with Professor Welton about his study, which he called historic. Here he talks about the problems that resulted from a lack of scientific information that led both the state and the water utility to declare the chemical non-detectable at a certain level, although Welton and his team were able to detect MCHM at far lower levels as they conducted studies of the water quality in 80 homes spread throughout the affected area.
We shipped the contaminant that was spilled into the river. We were able to get the actual chemical that was sequestered after it was spilled, or a residual in the tank, and we shipped that across the country to California to begin immediate odor testing of it to determine at what level you can smell it in water. We shipped it to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and Monrovia, California, where they started characterizing it. The WDTAP team has started looking at the byproducts of how the different drinking water system chemicals interact with these chemicals that were spilled, because one of the concerns that we had up front was that we knew everybody was looking for crude MCHM, which is a mixture of at least 8 compounds, but many of the efforts had been focused on what's called 4-MCHM, which is one of those 8 compounds. We know from basic environmental chemistry and engineering that chemicals transform sometimes in water treatment plants into unintended byproducts. That actually has never been talked about by state officials or federal officials, and that is something that the scientific community has been asking for all along. So there's many, many people that have been sending me emails asking, why hasn't the government considered looking at other compounds that were produced? And we have done that.
So, Andrew Welton, when you and your team report your findings, will you be able to say whether or not the water is safe? That's what everyone was waiting for when I was down there 2 weeks ago. They were waiting for the results of the tests.
What you're referring to is just a basic understanding that everybody has, including us. What are the chemical levels in the water, and are those acceptable in terms of will they make me acutely sick or will they have chronic effects to not simply me, but my children, my friend's baby, my elderly grandmother? I mean, these are the questions that people are asking, and they have every right to do so because I would be asking the same thing. The toxicology panel that the WVTAP program is convening will examine the available data to determine if the levels that the state of West Virginia have instituted, the 10 part per billion or 10 ppb level for MCHM, are protective of public health. Next, they'll also look at the CDC's level of 1,000 part per billion to see if that level was protective of public health. And I expect, I can't speak for the panel, but I expect that they will make recommendations in terms of what other information should have been available to make certain determinations. Now, one of the major points that a lot of critics, including myself, make was that at the very beginning, a lot of the declarations that the water was safe to drink or that a certain level of chemical is acceptable weren't really backed up with enough public scrutiny in terms of availability of knowledge and availability of data and outside vetting. And so what we are doing is we are coming in through the expert panel and actually trying to determine if what happened in terms of what levels cause acute or chronic health effects are valid. What's important to recognize here, and I know that throughout this incident, everybody's been talking about part per billion or ppb and ppm. The fact of the matter is the screening level that West Virginia set for its population was 10 part per billion. And they did this because at the time, I do know that analytical laboratories could only get to 10 part per billion. So they could only conclusively say that a chemical was present above 10 part per billion. The odor results that Dr. Mark Dwyer has come out with basically demonstrate that at very, very low levels, you can still smell some type of odor in that water with crude MGHM in it, even if the water is determined safe to drink at 10 part per billion.
Does that mean it really isn't safe, or people don't know?
That's a great question. The odor is one component of this, mainly because throughout the incident, the state, as well as the utility, were declaring the chemical was not present. The chemical for MGHM was not present at a certain level. So they would say, it's non-detect at 10 part per billion. And then the public would say, but my water smells like licorice. And the response was, but it's non-detect at 10 part per billion. Or more recently, non-detect at 3 part per billion. And somebody will say, but my water smells like licorice. Well, Dr. McGuire's work demonstrates that, first of all, there's a messaging issue here, that just because you can't detect something doesn't mean it's not there and it's not causing problems, which then raises the concern by homeowners and somebody, me included, that what is causing the odor and what concentration is it?
That was Andrew Welton, an assistant professor of civil engineering at South Alabama University, who pulled a team together to investigate the toxic chemical spill into the water supply of 300,000 West Virginians. Find more information on the West Virginia chemical spill and lax regulation on our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.